Markets in Europe are adjusting to the idea of an economically powerful region moving to break off from Spain. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Spain is in crisis this morning after Catalonia, the northeast region that includes Barcelona, voted for independence. About 90% voted to leave Spain. Moves to cleave off from Spain could happen as early as this week, even though the Spanish courts had ruled the referendum this weekend was illegal. Hundreds of people were heard after Spanish police used anti-riot tactics to disrupt the vote. The BBC's Europe correspondent Gavin Lee is in Barcelona now.
Carlos Puigdemont meeting other party leaders this morning from in his own government to look at a transition to independence law about how they control the economy, the judicial system, where they go from here. And if he's going to declare independence, it would be in 48 hours. But how do you do that? We will see demonstrations. We will see people here in Barcelona and elsewhere stepping outside of businesses, cafes, restaurants, bars in front at midday to show an act of unity for those supporting the independence movement.
Catalonia is one of Spain's most economically vibrant areas, and there would be dauntingly complex issues to resolve about a central bank and divisions of assets. The key index on the Spanish stock market is down 1.4% right now on a day that stock indexes are up elsewhere in Europe. Here, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are each up in the 0.2% range. The 10-year Treasury yield is up at 2.34%. The site of the Las Vegas mass shooting was one of the top country music outdoor festivals in the country, inaugurated in 2014, a joint effort by the ticket giant Live Nation and the global hospitality company MGM Grand Resorts. All 25,000 passes to each day of that event had been sold out. Starting today, it's going to be harder for retirees to take out loans against the equity of their homes. New rules are taking effect that limit the size of these reverse mortgage loans that many rely on as an additional source of income. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Reverse mortgages help seniors stay in their homes. Adolfo Marzol is a senior advisor at HUD.
Particularly for seniors that I would just say in short, maybe house rich, but cash poor.
Good goal, but here are some problems. In recent years, often the amount of money owed on the loan was more than the value of the house. Another thing, borrowers were struggling to pay taxes and insurance, so they defaulted. The federal government has been picking up the very expensive tab. To staunch the bleeding, homeowners can now borrow about 58% of the value of their home, down from 64%. The AARP's Laura Chowinski calls the change a trade-off.
We want people to have options as they age. At the same time, you have to balance the availability with the stability overall.
Chowinski expects fewer homeowners to seek reverse mortgages going forward. None of the changes impact the 650,000 homeowners who currently have one of these loans. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Eviction often starts with a traumatic event, a lost job, illness, or a death in the family. People fall behind on the rent. The eviction notice comes. New York City, where nearly 22,000 people are evicted every year, is making a bet that it can break this cycle by spending $155 million a year on lawyers to represent low-income tenants. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra reports.
At New York City's housing court in downtown Brooklyn, where judges preside over landlord-tenant disputes, about 30 people are standing in a line, waiting to speak to a clerk. They're representing themselves in court.
This is the kind of the bottleneck entry point to housing court.
Sergio Jimenez, an attorney at the nonprofit Brooklyn Defender Services, flips through a list of the day's cases.
All of the landlords have attorneys. So landlord's attorney, landlord's attorney, landlord's attorney, one tenant attorney.
99% of landlords in New York City eviction cases have lawyers, according to the city. Just 27% of tenants do. Jimenez says without a lawyer, tenants are at a disadvantage.
Most of the time you'll be going up against somebody who's been doing this for decades, knows all the judges, knows all the court staff, knows the system.
New York City recently passed a law funding free legal services for residents who are facing eviction and fall below a certain income threshold, about $49,000 a year for a family of four. Harry Michelle, who's 64 and lives in Queens, is an example of why having a lawyer matters. he fought off eviction a few years ago. The father of a young son, he was living with his brother, William, and his mother, who was terminally ill.
I was taking care of her during the day while he was at work and also caring for my son.
Then his brother had an accident and ended up in a coma. Michelle fell behind on the rent and his landlord sued him.
I was bewildered. I didn't know what to do.
A lawyer from the Legal Aid Society, a nonprofit, took on Michelle's case, helping him get a rent subsidy from the city and negotiating for him to stay in the apartment longer.
If I didn't have representation, we literally would have been homeless.
More than 59,000 people sleep in New York City's homeless shelters every night. Stephen Banks, commissioner of the city's Department of Social Services, says the new law could help people stay in their homes instead.
To spend a couple of $1,000s to provide legal services versus tens of thousands of dollars to provide shelter makes this a very good investment.
Joseph Strasberg, who heads the landlord advocacy group, the Rent Stabilization Association, questions the wisdom of the law. He says a lawyer might just delay an inevitable eviction.
The owner is out of rent for months, which has an impact on their ability to put money back into the building, pay off their real estate taxes, and how about their mortgage?
Strasberg says even tenants with a lawyer have to come up with the rent money. I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.